Peace is never simply a negative absence. It is always a positive presence. In a very real sense, it's the presence of Jesus Christ.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The bliss of the peacemaker is our subject based on Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children, or quite literally, they shall be called the sons of God. The Bible is a book about peace. There are nearly 400 references to peace in its pages. The history of Revelation, as you study it, the unfolding of God's message contained in the pages of Scripture, the history of Revelation opens with peace, and it closes with peace. And the reason there is war in between is because of the opposition of Satan and the disobedience of men. Wherever Satan is at work, there is no peace. And wherever we are disobedient to the principles of God, there is no peace. In the Bible, there are two words that are used to define peace. There's a sense in which I'm going over familiar terrain here, but I'll touch on them briefly. In the Bible, there are two words that are used to define peace. In the Hebrew Old Testament, there is the word shalom. In the Greek New Testament, there is the word eirene. Shalom is a word which means quite literally completeness, wholeness, harmony, and fulfillment based on restored relationships. That's what the word means. The lexical books, the word study books, the theological dictionaries, they're all in agreement. It means completeness and wholeness, harmony and fulfillment based on restored relationships. God gives to us a completeness. He makes us complete individuals. He makes us whole individuals. He gives us inward and outward harmony. He gives us a deep sense of fulfillment when our relationship with Him is restored. And apart from that restored relationship, there is no peace. That's the very meaning of the Old Testament word shalom. And the New Testament word is eirene, and it is a word which means to join or to weave together. It means to sit at one again and carries the idea of oneness or peace. Technically, it means serenity through submission. That would be a very simple formula to identify what eirene or eirenes means in the Greek New Testament, what the word peace means. It means serenity, calmness, peace, to be in a state of being unruffled. It means serenity through submission to the government or control of God. That's how it was used. In classical Greek, it spoke of the serenity and the peace that characterized a people that submitted to a benevolent government. So peace, in the biblical sense, is serenity through submission to the government or control of God. Peace is never simply a negative absence. The absence of strife, for example. It is always a positive presence. In a very real sense, it's the presence of Jesus Christ. And when He invades our life, when He's present in our being, we can expect that we will have peace. It is a powerful, creative force providing for its recipients all the goodness that God alone can give. Total well-being. Those are all of the ideas from the theologians and the lexical books that are inherent in the concept of biblical peace. And sharing that peace with others on a very practical basis is the great task of the peacemaker. Every one of us listening by the radio Every one of us should have a burden to fulfill the implications of our identity as peacemakers. I wonder how much you've thought about it, or if you have a burden to be a peacemaker. Jesus said, oh, the bliss, oh, the blessedness, oh, the wealth and the richness that comes into the life of a man or of a woman who is a peacemaker. Every one of us should have a burden to fulfill the implications of our identity as peacemakers. And in order for us to be able to do that very efficiently and successfully, we will need to understand four basic truths. What are those four basic truths? Number one, I think we need to understand the fount of peace. Where does peace come from? And it comes, the Bible says, from the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So number one, we need to understand the fount of peace. And then number two, we need to understand the foe of peace so that we can avoid it, that foe, so that that foe is incapable of rendering us non-functional in this area. The foe of peace, in a word, is sin. And the bottom line in sin is the word self. So we need to understand the foe of peace and the disruption and the warfare that sin and self can cause in our personal lives, in our families, in a local church. Then, number three, we need to understand the function of peacemaking. And in a word, it's nothing other than Christian living, living out on a practical basis what God intended our Christian lives to be all about. In principle, we'll see when we get to that point, in principle it involves two things. In practice, it involves three things. I'll try to identify them for you quickly. And then finally, we need to understand the fruit of peacemaking. The Bible says, for they shall be called the children, or literally the sons. Huios is the word. It's not the word for children, techna. It's the word huios, which means sons. They shall be called the sons of God. It will be evident that we belong to God if we engage in and are committed to the peacemaking process. Now let's look at these for a moment. First, the first point is the fount of peace. That's the first basic truth we need to understand if we're ever going to fulfill the implications of our identity as peacemakers. The fount of peace, where does it come from? There can be no peace apart from this fount. It comes from the triune God. The God of peace is the originator of it. That's the Father. The Prince of Peace is the executor of it. He makes it possible. That's the Son. And the Spirit of Peace is the applicator of it, the ministry of the Holy Spirit taking up residence within us and bringing it right down into our daily experience. First, the God of peace. He's the originator of it. The Bible says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Six times in the New Testament, our God is called the God of peace. In what sense is our God, that is the Heavenly Father, the God of peace? There are many things that could be said here, but let me say two things. One, our God is a God of peace in His person. And secondly, in His purpose for our lives. One in His person, which means that in the nature of God, there are no tensions. God is at peace with Himself. I tell you, that would be a beautiful and a precious commodity, wouldn't it? In the nature of God, there are no tensions. In that regard, He is utterly unlike us. We have a psychology, an inward, immaterial nature that has been ruined by sin. It produces inward tensions. It produces inward conflicts. But God in His person is at perfect peace with Himself. His attributes dwell and work together harmoniously. And that's why on six separate occasions in the New Testament documents, He is called the God of peace. He is a perfectly integrated being. There is no tension, no conflict in the nature of God, and it's that which He wishes to share with us. And without that peace, which is native to the nature of God, and which He wishes to share with us, without that peace, we shall disintegrate. We shall fall apart. He is a God of peace, one in His person, two in His purpose. I wonder if you jot this reference down. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. We read from the pen of Jeremiah, "For I know the thoughts," these are the words of God conveyed through Jeremiah. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." Literally, and this is right out of the Hebrew Old Testament, literally, "to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29 in verse 11. "I have certain thoughts, certain plans for you. I'm planning certain things for you, and they're peaceful plans. I want to give you a future, and I want to give you a hope." As I look at Jeremiah 29, 11, to me there are three very powerful and striking ingredients in that verse. The first striking element is that God thinks about us. To me, that's a miracle. Do you know something? You're on God's mind. God has a personal, individual, benevolent interest in you and in me. He thinks about us. I thank God for that. David was overwhelmed by that thought. David said in Psalm 8 in verse 4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Psalm 8 in verse 4. That was an overwhelming thought in the mind of David. It ought to be an encouraging thought to every one of us. We're in the mind of God. He thinks about us. There's a second striking element in that verse. Not only does he think about us, but the second striking element there is that God's thoughts, God's plans, literally, God's purposes for us are positive and they're not negative. They are benevolent and they're not malevolent. His goal is to help us and not to harm us. They are thoughts of peace, Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 29 in verse 11. And here we are all caught up in a revolution against God. We're in a state of open rebellion against his law. And God is saying to humanity, he's saying to us, "I want you to have peace. My plans for you are peaceful." That's a powerful truth. And then the third striking element in Jeremiah 23:11 is that God's peaceful purposes or peaceful plans or thoughts regarding us are designed to brighten our future with hope. We have a gracious God. We're on his mind, we're in his heart, and we're in his plans for the future. I want to brighten your future with hope. When we experience God's peace, we possess an eternal future, and both our present and our future are filled with hope. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end," literally to give you a future and a hope. Our God is a gracious God. He's the God of peace, one in his person. He's at peace within himself, a perfectly integrated being, and he's moving us toward that perfect integration, and it begins with our salvation. And beyond that, he's a God of peace in his purpose. He has a peaceful purpose for you and me. We can thank God for that.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Whenever you say "me first," you know what you've done? You've laid the platform for wars and fightings among you.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively. helping you to live an authentic Christian life.